miss you when I
Welcome back, everyone. For today, I'm actually joined with Martin, who's returned from my Gorn Cole episode. But before we get too much further in discussing candy today, I'll hand over the mic so he can reintroduce himself further.
Hi there. My name is Martin, also known as Lynchbricks. I was on one of the very first episodes that Colin did. I think it was the second or third, maybe. Anyway, and now I am back after several attempts. But I think we finally settled on candy and happy to talk about it.
And to start off, this is actually less about starting off with candy and more of just the Las Vegas segment of the return in general. What were your thoughts on everything relating to Dougie, the Mitchum brothers, candy? Because when I see people, this is actually a part where I've even seen people who feel secondhand embarrassment because of the Dougie Jones arc. But do you have any thoughts about that in particular?
So it's been quite interesting, and part of the fun of getting to do this show is that, like with Gordon Cole, so I was watching all his episodes, and you're seeing it completely out of context, and suddenly things which have sort of been to the back of your mind start getting pushed to the front, and you're like, oh, so it's actually really interesting, because the Vegas stuff is, I need to be honest, definitely one of the weaker elements for me. Like, it's just, I think when you see it without all the Laura stuff, without the previous Twin Peaks cast, you know, and it's just this sort of strange side thing, and it's comedy, and it doesn't quite pay off the way I would like it to. Like, personally, I don't like the Mitchum brothers. I don't get it. They're in it a lot. I get what they are, and I get the fact that they're sort of... My very first time watching season three, one of my biggest issues was that there was a lot of men in suits that I couldn't really remember anything about them. And there's a lot of men in suits, and it's very kind of Mulholland Drive all over again. You know, like, they're running the show. It's not all bad. Like, it's like, I'm about to say there's some really interesting stuff watching it. And again, you realize, like, the sort of coziness of the original Twin Peaks or North Bend, basically. And then you realize just this modern world is just so cold with technology and nobody's happy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that I remember the first time I watched The Return. This isn't even about Vegas in particular. This is just in general. But I remember just how, like, much more clean aesthetically it felt. And there's this thing in my head is like, oh, this isn't what I liked about Twin Peaks. But as time's gone on, I've warmed up to it. But I haven't said that, though. I remember feeling that when I was watching the Vegas scenes. I was like, oh, there's like a strange, like, cleanness to it. And so I wasn't really sure how to feel about that initially. But as for the actual characters that are in Vegas, I know that Dougie Jones, people's feelings on Vegas, it lives and dies by how people feel about this arc. For me, I honed in on the part about how Janie E and Sonny Jim, about how I believe that when Dougie Jones, as Cooper is Dougie Jones, better yet, entered in their lives, it seemed like he was making their lives better. He was making the lives of everyone else around him better. And there's just something about how I think of, like, with Cooper in season two, it's when he says to one of his tapes to Diane that he says he hopes it's not too late to start a family. So given that, like, 25 years after, like, the moment he gets out, this is something he can do. And it's like he really brings the family closer together. So that's something that I got from it. And that's why I think why it felt so important to me. But to bring it into Candy in particular, I view her as being, like, central to the Vegas storyline. And that without her, we wouldn't have Dougie Jones as is.
Yeah, I mean, so I have lots of thoughts about this. It's a little complicated. So it's a bit wibbly wobbly, so just kind of, like, bear with me, but we will get there with it all. I guess for me, what's really interesting is that when initially, full disclosure here, we were going to do Lucy, I think, back in the day, and then it became, I think you suggested Señorita Dido at one point, is that right? And I was a bit like, I have nothing to say. Like, I just, like, you know, like, nothing to say on that character. But with Candy, I was just like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Candy was one of my favorite characters. And then you're like, well, why was Candy one of my favorites? And when you rewatch these episodes, it's like, I'm still not sure, to be honest with you. Like, what is it about her? I mean, there's just something about these three girls, isn't it? Like, you've got this dark crime thing where they're beating up, the casino owners, and then suddenly these three, I mean, beautiful girls, and they're in these like hilarious costumes, and their mannerisms and their speed and their movement and their body language is just so not what anybody else is doing. It's dreamy and it's strange and it's kind of like all the things that David Lynch just absolutely loves, including beautiful women, by the way. But and I just find it very, just in the second, even like Amy Shields, like out of the three girls, there's something about her that she just pulls focused. She's just, that's the one that you just like, everybody loves, like loves the girls, and believe me, we've met them and they're lovely. But like Amy Shields, there's something about Amy, like you just like Candy as a character just is like pulls focus, and she is just brilliant. And you need these strange characters. Yeah, so the problem is all their scenes have to be related to the Mitchums, and the Mitchums are already comedy characters, kind of. I mean, yeah, they probably leaned a little. Certainly by the end, they've just become full-blown, sweet, wholesome characters, but they weren't like that at the beginning. Like almost started, like their arc was quite, they were these gangsters who were like beating people up. I don't know, it's, and by the end of it, you're just, what are they? They're doing conga lines and they're sweet and wholesome and like, okay, just sure.
No, I actually do think that in terms of how I feel about the Mitchum brothers, I definitely view Rodney Mitchum as being like the more like straight man in terms of like he's more intense. Seems like you get a real like angry physical reaction from him. Even in the early scenes, I thought Bradley Mitchum, not even just because it's played by Jim Belushi, but there's a less aggressiveness from him for the most part. But I think the fact that at least I look at it as Candy is like an influence of good to the Mitchum brothers. That when you first see the Mitchum brothers, they are those cold-hearted criminals. But there's like a little softness that seems to emerge with each Candy scene because the first scene we see with them, they're just kind of yelling at Candy to like, go out and get Anthony Sinclair. And she seems very oblivious. She's taking a long time to come back. And then we have the remote scene where she actually hits Rodney Mitchum, like the more aggressive of the two brothers, and they're actually trying to turn around, or they're trying to calm her down instead of the other way around. So that's what I got from Candy, is that like she's the one that's kind of keeping them in line, and that's something that we see with each subsequent scene with her.
So that's interesting. I do have some theories about Candy we can certainly get into. Well, if you really unpack it, so in the first scene we see her, I mean, she's in this room with the and they're they've just she's disassociated, really. She's there, but she's not there. She's like, she just doesn't react to, so the it's, if I remember correctly, it's the casino owners that's getting beaten up by the Mitchum brothers, and their girls are there. They're not looking at it. They're not reacting to it. They've seen this before. Like they're the lackeys. They are the pretty ornaments, and also the essentially the gangster molds of the brothers. And I don't know. There's something in that scene that's really interesting, because from what you sort of understand of Candy, that she's very sweet and she sort of feels things. You would expect her to be horrified by what's going on, but she's not. She's bored. She's seen it before, and it's an interesting mix. There's something going on there, and also like when she does her sort of hand movements, like there's some weird little sub story going on here about Candy and air conditioning. You know what I mean? Like it's mentioned multiple times, and it's almost like she's sort of doing the current, like of the air, like there's just this whole sort of weird little sub story going on about her and their love for air conditioning. And I was just like, yeah, makes sense, I guess. But as an entrance goes in the world of Twin Peaks, and bearing in mind what's going on, we've got demons and FBI agents and monsters, and you've just got this quite a human seriousness to it. And they add comic relief. Is it comic relief? They add something really, a really interesting, very David Lynch Twin Peaks element that you can understand why the fans absolutely latched onto. Like, I don't know, what about you? What did you have the same sort of thing with Candy, like when you first saw her?
Strangely enough, I remember when I first started talking about the return with other people. I was actually surprised that with my views on the Vegas storyline, the way I viewed Dougie Jones and Candy, it was almost reversed compared to what most fans were, because it took me some time to figure this out. But I think that because with Dougie Jones, we know it's Del Cooper that's trapped inside of him, and that, like, we kind of know enough of that story. We have a framework for why he is that way. And so, like, when he's acting very idiosyncratic or non-responsive, you can at least think that there's something in there that you can kind of have context for. But as for Candy, I had no, we had no context whatsoever. And honestly, kind of don't have context anyways. But I remember I was like, oh, wait, maybe this is like what she's going through is not unlike Dougie Jones or even like maybe Andy Brennan to a certain degree, because they're all characters that are very aloof, but they all seem to be like aware on a very, I don't know, on a higher level in some cases. Because, with Cooper, where it's like he was in the Black Lodge, and then with the case of Andy, where, like, of all the people that could have been chosen part 14 to see the fireman, he's the one that goes to see him. And so I think that Candy's in that sort of like, in that sort of like same vein in terms of she's very aloof, but also she is there to for a very specific purpose.
Yeah, I mean, so there's something going on there in terms of the way Candy reacts to things is almost similar to the way that Lucy did in the original sort of like couple of seasons. You know, like you're going to ask her to do something very, very simple. And part of the fun and part of the tension is what's she going to do? Do you know, like it's just because it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. I mean, we skipped forward a little bit, but like when she's doing the. Yeah, so I mean. Well, first of all, like let's do it in order, like, because okay, sort of I know what I'm trying to say, and it sort of makes sense. But I mean, really, so we see this strange sort of gangster girl in the first, you know, in the first episode, and then in the second one, it's like this beautiful scene with like Amy Shields, doing great physical comedy, you know, when she's trying to get rid of the fly, and you know, it's pure David Lynch, let's face it. And it's like, it's physical comedy, it's long, there's like tension, it's build up, it's just like, but it's also like, it's just ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Where she's like, I mean, what is it? This girl tarted up like Barbie, basically, like suddenly trying to, you know, swat a fly. And it's just, yeah, it just, you know, then, I mean, there is an interesting theory that when the you could potentially argue that she has a very interest, and I'll be jumping around here, but there's something going on about the relationship with Rodney and Bradley Mitchum and her, and she listens to, she ignores Bradley a lot more than she does Rodney. No, the other way around. She ignores Rodney a lot more than she does Bradley. So Rodney will say things to her over and over and over again, and it's when Bradley says it that she'll sort of pay attention to what's going on. Now, there is this like theory here that, and we don't have much to go on with Candy, to be honest with you, but let's just argue here for a minute that it is. There is something more going on here with Candy that we sort of learn from her, the way she behaves. She's quite defiant. Like she's for a lackey, she doesn't do what she's told, doesn't behave the way she's going to do stuff. Do you know, like when she's sent to go pick up the guy who's inside the casino, and she's asked to go fetch him. She's suspicious. Why am I doing it? Do you know, it's like, but it's done in this very kind of like me, but also like, why me? And then she's sort of doing the thing, and then you know she's caught, and she meets this guy, and she's telling him about air conditioning, and she's sort of showing him around, and she's all very, she's not doing what she's supposed to do. She's sort of telling him some stuff, and then eventually she does bring him back, and then it's like she's been caught out, you know, and she's sort of like my friend's daughter is a little bit less. She's 7, do you know, and she, no, she's not, well, actually she's 11, but when she's caught out with something, it just gets really creative with it. What, me? What? I don't know what you're talking about. And that's kind of what Candy is. Do you know, like she's just like that, she's this gangster's ball, but at the same time, she's just like her own boss, and she just does her own thing. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
No, I think I know what you're saying, and I think one of the things that you were kind of tapping on that I was thinking about is that she's picked, and you're saying that me, it's like, oh, why me? But that does beg the question that It's like, why does it have to be her? Because we see Sandy and Mandy are right there. They're always in close proximity. And it seems like there's something about Candy that seems to gravitate towards the Mitchum brothers, and then Sandy and Mandy are secondary to them. And that's always something that I've thought about, is that why is it that like she's the primary one, and that Sandy and Mandy are just kind of like, I guess, window dressing, for lack of a better term, because they don't really do anything to actively contribute to the Mitchum brothers, I don't think.
No, they don't. But and that's sort of the thing about Candy. I mean, there are clues. There's definitely some things going on here. Like, funny enough, when I was reading about Mitchum's sort of wiki, there was a thing about them both coming from an orphanage, and I was just like, oh, I wonder if that's sort of related to something here. That there's like, I've read Amy Shields' interview in Vulture. I'm sure you have as well, but she's sort of, she had her own theory about it, and she said it's, there's nothing sexual going on here, that there's a loving family, and she sort of sees them as these good people. And there is one line, and where you, they say, when they've had enough of that, they're absolutely exasperated by everything she does. And one of them reminds the other one and says, like, if we fire her, she's got nowhere to go. And that's also just really powerful. We're getting clues here. It's the bare minimum, but we're kind of figuring out they've had it with Candy, but at the same time, like, they love Candy as family, do you know?
I'm glad you're bringing this scene up, because I remember when I did my interview with Amy Shields, we were talking about the scene with the fly, and I think one of the reasons why it's such a happy accident is because I think that initially the whole idea was that Robert Knepper, I think he was like a studio light or something fell on him, and it was like clearly like you could not hide the fact that there was like this massive cut or bump on the side of his
Oh,
cheek.
is that what it was? Oh, that's really interesting, actually.
So yeah, she told me, she said that Dave Lynch like, oh, can you cry good? I'm just paraphrasing what Amy Shields said, but she's like, yeah, it's like, all right, we're gonna film another scene tomorrow, a brand new scene. And she was like, oh no, this is, because she knew this was gonna be very emotionally demanding. The thing is that that scene, I think that had we not had that scene, there would have been so much that would have been missed out on from both the Mitchum brothers and Kennedy, because we get that line where they say that if we get rid of her, she has nowhere else to go. And as someone who's visited Vegas like years back, it is a bad place to have when you have nowhere to go. It can get really ugly out in Vegas. So the fact that the Mitchum brothers are starting to show they have a conscience, like even though like especially Ronnie has every right to be angry in that moment, but it shows that there's a humanity emerging from them. And then Candy, she's still crying so hard from that moment that at night, like we have no idea how much time it was, because it was broad daylight when she had hit him with the remote. But at night, it shows they're watching the news with, I believe it's Ike the Spike and Dougie Jones, but she's still crying hours later. So.
Can I just say as well, there's like really funny, like that scene with the, because again, you're just rewatching it and sort of just the specific scenes. Like Janie E, when she's talking about like when Dougie does a karate chop on her, like I missed that line. That is absolutely hilarious. You know what I mean? And she's like roaring and crying, and she's just like, and he did a karate chop. Which I was like, which is half the fun of sort of seeing this stuff. But yeah, there's something going on here that we sort of, that's getting glossed over about Candy. And so the fact that she's so upset when she hits him, like, you know, and she's like hysterically crying about it. But there's also something, if you want to get a little sort of dig a little deeper, like, and then here's a theory. And again, that's all we got with Candy, because it's as vague as you like. But she's like, what about if it's the idea that there she's disassociated and there's guilt going on here, and she knows what she's doing, but she's just detached mentally from sort of what's going on. And when there are moments where she can be a helper, she loves it. And when she can show that the Mitchums are kind, like we've got quotes of it, you know, when like the bit where is it Dougie wakes up and he talks about the Mitchums of Hearts of Gold, and she's like, they really do you know, it's like, and she means that she sees this sort of like fantastic side. But what about, and this is just a theory that I sort of was cooking up, is that maybe there's more to this than we are sort of aware of in the sort of world of David Lynch and Twin Peaks, and maybe Candy hit him on purpose, you know, with a remote control. Maybe there's more to this than we're letting think, because there's some sort of through relationship going on here where Rodney is the least favorite of the three, and maybe of the two, sorry. And there's definitely something going on here that maybe Candy is a little bit more switched on than we're giving her credit for. And it's almost like this reaction to it is there's more to it, why she's crying. Do you know? And it's funny and it's sad, but it goes on for such a long time. Maybe do you see what I'm sort of trying to come from?
I think I know where you're coming from, and I really like that take. I've never thought of the fact that she would do that on purpose. One of the things I wrote down my notes for Candy is that I wrote down that she may have been visited by the firemen because, I think of like with Cooper before he becomes Dougie Jones or Freddy before he goes to Twin Peaks, where there's something about these very idiosyncratic characters where they seem to be put in place. And I just still think of like how, like with her, where there's something about like she has that a certain influence on the Mitchums. And when you bring up how she hit him on purpose, I think there's still something about the proximity that she has to both the Mitchum brothers.
Yeah, well, yeah, what's the line she says? I'm trying to remember. It's like, how could you ever love me after what I did? Do you know, is the line. And you're just like, well, what if, you know, and if it was like, and he's like, but it was an accident. Well, what if it wasn't? What if there's much more to this that actually, because Candy isn't this, like, Lucy is ditzy and vague because Lucy is ditzy and vague. Candy is showing little signs that, you know, she's defiant. Candy is in her own world, but is nobody's fool, if that makes sense. Do you know, she's like, she's kind of just does what she wants to do, if you really sort of pay attention to it. And if it's an opportunity to, if the Mitchums are doing something good, then she's super into it. For example, like, bringing sandwiches, you know, finger sandwiches to like Dougie's hospital, or like, you know, just these. She has a couple of really nice sort of naked lunch moments, and I don't know if you know the term, like, but naked lunch is like from Burroughs, but it's the idea of like you eat your sandwich, you eat your lunch every day, and you're not really paying attention to just what's on your fork, like the everyday moments, and just the fact that Candy come in and she's just talking about. What's the bit about, like, when she's talking about, like, you know, there's just so many cars here, and she's just talking about air conditioning. You know, it's just these, like, oh, yeah, there is. But also, like, it's almost something very sort of childlike and sort of sweet and sincere. And I think that's an interesting one because how can you not fall in love with Candy? Do you know?
Even though you and me seem like you're coming from different angles, because one of the questions I wrote down to myself, I asked myself if she has an end game for her time in Vegas. With you like mentioning everything about how she's becoming defiant, do you think there's an end game for the role she plays in the Vegas storyline or in Twin Peaks at large?
No, I think she's happy. The Mitchums too sort of seem to have a sort of come to Jesus moment, and I think that's she's happy with that because she sort of chooses to see the best in them. And well, now they're rich and they don't need to do these things, and she's delighted for that. Does that make sense? I mean, that's just my interpretation of it, but sort of following because Amy Shields did in Vulture when she was talking about it, and her interpretation of it was that they had rescued her at some point, and she never sort of saw it as anything seedy. She just saw it as that there was a love there, but it was family, and there was times where they got on really, really well, and there were times where they were utterly just lost about what this person was doing. So there is something, you know, we keep, you mentioned Dougie, and I keep being like, oh yeah, we'll talk about that later, and we never quite do. So I'm quite happy to go into it. So there's almost a weird thing that happens, who would have thought in Twin Peaks, but there's almost a weird one that happens with it's a weird choice to pair Dougie up with the three girls, you know, because they're too similar. Do you know, like, the one thing I was going to say that if you quite pay attention, there's something very sweet about it is that Candy immediately locks on to Dougie. Like, she sees him at, when she's getting him his pie, and she's just like, she sees the best in people, and she sees what we will later fall in love with Dougie, but nobody was quite there yet. And Dougie doesn't do the same back. Dougie's just Dougie. You know, Dougie's just like just doing his own thing and just kind of repeating things. And she, but if you really watch, then she just locks on. But it's almost like it's such a strange choice for like Lynch to do this, to put Candy, Mandy, and Sandy with Dougie, and then the two Mitchum brothers. Like they're too similar. They're too vague, floaty. Do you know that it's like, and then they go on this mad car journey to Twin Peaks, and you're just like, okay, I'm not even sure why Candy's there. Do you know, like it's just like, sure, man, Off we go. And it adds to that weird kind of Wizard of Oz-esque-ness to it all. Do you know, like, where it's very, like, Dougie wakes up and this weird and wonderful sort of group of people are there, but I don't know why Candy's there in the final episode, really. I'm glad she is, but also, were you not the same? Do you know, like...
I think I'm similar in that regard because when I looked at Dougie as time went on, where I was comparing contrasting Candy at a certain point, I thought like, oh, it seems like there's a lot of similarities in how they handle themselves. So if I can kind of like get a feeling of how I feel about Dougie, I can get that, for Candy and vice versa. But I think one thing that is worth mentioning because we were actually talking about like a little bit before recording, but I think you mentioned about watching the scenes out of order. And believe it or not, in the Vegas storyline in particular, I think actually really adds a great deal to that because we have the scene where the Mitchum brothers, they celebrate when they get their check from Dougie Jones. Candy's there, in the restaurant, when the woman who says Mr. Jackpot comes up. And then the next part, Dougie playing baseball with Sonny Jim, where he just throws them and he's not responsive. But then the part after that, it shows that the Mitchum brothers, Dougie, Candy, Sandy, Mandy, they went out partying that night and they all come back. So that middle segment of Dougie just playing ball with Sonny Jim makes no sense to be in there. And John Thorne, he's brought up a couple of theories. He brought that because in that part, I believe that was part 11, I think that was the only scene Kyle MacLachlan was in. And they kind of had to have something for him to do in that whole episode. But then John Thorne, he did also counter saying that maybe this is indicative that time is very strange in at least Las Vegas, possibly Twin Peaks at large.
Sure. I mean, so when I was saying about the episodes out of order, I'm sorry, the scenes out of order, what I mean is, like, for this time, I mean, I just watched the episodes with Candy in it, so that's 5, 10, 11, 13, 16, and 17. I mean, that's what, 6 episodes, and she's in it for 20 minutes total. There's still something about Candy that it's hard not to just love these characters. Do you know what I mean? Like, even Phil, because she's sweet and she's wholesome, and it's just like, and also she doesn't. I just like them, and I like that there's more to it, that she's defiant. That's my best sort of version, the way I can sort of see it. But she's almost, well, like, I think at first she was kind of like set up to be the light, like the sort of comedy relief around the sort of darkness of the gangsters. But then the more they become silly and fun and doing conga lines and winning money, I still don't fully understand where the money came from, by the way, with the pie and the we can discuss that for another time. With like the check and everything. Yeah, I mean, the part of the problem is that, like, you don't like the Mitchums tough. They're a big part of the story, and also, yeah, I don't know. It's just it's interesting to watch the episodes out of context, because suddenly you're like, oh, they're not that bad. Like, they're not that bad. And if you want a geeky little observation, I'm always pleased when I notice something new, and this was something new. Not Bradley, the other one wasn't Rodney. Rodney, costume. Did you spot it? There's a couple of little nods to, so he's got chevron tie. And he's got Blue Rose handkerchief. And later on, when you watch it, it becomes two. So it becomes like a double Twin Peaks. And I was just like, that's cool. There's like, it's just a little nod to the show.
That's an amazing observation. I didn't even notice anything about the clothing that the Mitchum brothers were wearing, but that is an incredible observation.
Yeah, I certainly have never seen that before, so I hadn't clocked it.
One thing, because we did touch upon it a little, but by the end, Cooper, now he's back in his quote unquote full form, where he immediately goes to Twin Peaks and he's being escorted along with the Mitchum brothers, Candy, Sandy, and Mandy. All of them, and including Cooper, strange enough, are tangentially related to the Freddy versus Bob Orb scene. I mean, I feel like we can't talk about Candy and not talk about her presence when she gets to Twin Peaks because this is one where, because it's always hard to end episodes when we talk about characters where their final part is in part 17 because of the
Yeah.
ambiguity of the scene itself, their role or their lack of in it. But do you have any thoughts about Candy's role in any capacity for once they go off to Twin Peaks?
So there's a theory that there's a double meaning to, do you know, when she's talking about the weather, what is it she says? Something about the veil of the, paraphrasing, but it's essentially saying, like, there's going to be a change in the weather, and that the concept is that there, she's kind of saying, like, I know a little bit more than I'm letting on in this sort of supernaturally. I don't know if I necessarily buy that. I think we're just sometimes scrambling for meanings with candy, but as an idea, it's pretty interesting.
Honestly, that is a good point in terms of the weather, because it's like I was saying before, is that with Dougie Jones and Andy, where they're very idiosyncratic and aloof, but they're tapping in something a little bit higher. I wouldn't discount that. I think there's probably something about the weather that would be worth addressing, especially since everything changes, like it looms over darker as like the Freddy and Bob showdown occurs.
Oh, that we're in the vision layer. It's going to be so hot and smoggy tomorrow. I told them we're so lucky to have air conditioning and cooling in our casino. Now, obviously, like things get pretty hot and smoggy when Bob gets beaten up and gets sent back to hell. Sure. I don't know, man. It's do you know what? Watching just those episodes, you're just like, this is fucking nuts. it really is just bizarre. Like we had Dougie and then we finally have Coop, but then it was just like off to Twin Peaks, and they're just like, whoop, well, that's it for an episode.
No, it's because when I think of Candy's role, I think of how, like, with her, I think that her role is there to make the Mitchum brothers better people. Because when we do see them, they are those cold-hearted criminals, and they slowly soften up throughout our time seeing them in the return. Before they leave for Twin Peaks, Cooper himself says that these two have hearts of gold. Candy is in like strong agreement to it, but I think that the important scene before that is that this is the moment when Cooper decides to leave Janie E and Sonny Jim in favor of trying to do everything that he thinks he's supposed to do. But yeah, I think that there's just something about like that family aspect that he's leaving behind, where it's like, in my opinion, I think he's straying away from what he's supposed to be doing. Because what he does admittedly is that when he wakes up, he does pull out so he can make a Cooper tulpa. But I still maintain that despite the fact that that tulpa will be there for Janie E and Sonny Jim, it doesn't change the fact that he's not there personally for them. And I think there's just something about Candy where she embraces that aspect of like being with these people, where she still has this trajectory that we don't quite know what's going to happen. Like even when Cooper, Gordon Cole, Diane, they all disappear. And for going with the final dossier, Tammy talks about it in a less dreamlike aspect, more of just like an event that factually happened. So I at least think that if we're going with that route, that Candy still finds a way to be there for the Mitchum brothers, that Sandy and Mandy are there alongside as well. They're just there to kind of like facilitate that things will be as good as they can possibly go, like for that arc for all of them.
I guess, man, we're just sort of, it could be anything, do you know? Like, Candy could get run over by Dougie, do you know? Like, well, that's just, when you start getting hyperbolic like that, yeah, maybe. I do have a question, though, and more to sort of pick your brain as well. Why do you think people were so frustrated with Dougie as a character to the point where many people rage quit when a beautiful female version of Dougie becomes people's almost favorite character?
I think, like you actually touched up on earlier with Candy, is that I think there's a certain allure that Amy Shields has. You were actually talking about earlier is that, like, we've met Amy Shields, Andrew Watrous, and Giselle Demir. And to my surprise, they're actually more radiant in person than they are
Oh,
actually in the return.
absolutely. They were stunning, by the way. Like, and I can tell you, well, I'm sure we can see some funny stories afterwards, but
I think there's just something about there's that allure that Amy Shields has. And I maintain that Lynch, he always casts people where he can see something in them personally that makes them the best choice for anything he does for his filmography or art. So I think there's just something about Amy Shields that brought a great deal of empathy to that character. But as for Dougie Jones slash Dale Cooper in Vegas, I think that a lot of people, when they were waiting to see what Cooper would be doing 25 years after, I don't think they thought that he'd be confined in this body, would barely be immobile for a period of time.
yeah, where he can't do the toilet or pee or like essentially he's a toddler. I get it. You're right. That's what it is.
I know Ben Durant on Twin Peaks Unwrapped, every time's like he has the coffee, it's gonna set him off, or oh, he has the cherry pie, it's gonna set him off. And then this is going on from part 3 to part 16. So that's
It's
a
all
that
time.
so if that if looking for Cooper in his traditional form was what people were looking for, yeah, so I can see that being a colossal disappointment. But for me, I always honed in on the family aspect of him from what he said in season 2. So I found it rewarding. But I do know that there's people where there's even been fan ads where they just completely remove the Dougie Jones stuff. And for me, I feel like,
Really?
yeah, it's I think that like actually just removes like like the heart of the return for me, in my opinion.
You know, rewatching just those specific episodes, like it's actually Naomi Watts. You realize like just how funny she is. Like that whole scene where she's like, she's got the hots for him after he's like saved her, and he's just eating this cake, and he's completely not bothered, and she's just like, "Yeah, let's do this," and he's absolutely just like oblivious. It's fantastic. Like I just absolutely, it's such a hoot. Yeah, she's brilliant in it. But again, she kind of gets a little bit lost in the story as well. Because I guess that was one of the final sort of things I wanted to sort of say about Candy as well, is that they did her quite a good service by having her in episode 5, and then she's not back in it till 10. So like we have this very intriguing character who's caught people's imagination, but also she's right through at the end, you know, because sometimes there's so much going on in the return that some of the earlier characters are just, you just forget about them, but actually they're brilliant, you know, they're really, really strong, and it's interesting, isn't it? You know, like almost like, because I know that, like Amy Shields said herself, you know, she kept watching it and being like, when am I on? But actually, they did her such a favor by doing that, because she and putting her right in sort of the last sort of few scenes as well.
And I think I said everything on my end for Candy, but do you have any final thoughts and or any social media you'd like to plug?
Sure, I've God, I still don't want to say it, to be honest with you, but with Amy Shields specifically, she's perfect in it. Do you know, like she is just so good, so funny about it all. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to cut this out. This is quite funny. Do you want to tell the story about when she sort of hustled me?
I mean, you're welcome to say it. I'll leave it, but I'll leave it up to the direction it goes if it's if this gets cut or not.
Well, it's up to you if you want to cut it, but it's also part of the allure. And well, so fun fact, I've met Amy Shields twice, and once she was at Twin Peaks UK Fest, and like I'm, as you probably picked up from my accent, Scottish, and she had been to Edinburgh, and she wanted to talk about New Year, and I wanted to talk about Candy, and she kept talking about New Year. And I kept talking about Candy. It was just this really weird thing where we sort of have this. She's like, "Oh yeah, where do you go? Blah blah blah." And I was just like, "So I really like this episode." And then the other time, so where were we? Spooky Empire in Florida. So this being calling her good pals, I'd say. And yeah, so there was a huge turnout for people who don't know. Anybody you can imagine, you know. So it was in the Spooky Empire in Orlando, and I paid to do the group photograph sort of afterwards, but the girls weren't on it, so I paid to do it individually for just the three of them. I don't know why I did that, but that's another story. And and I made sort of like, because I so Lynch Briggs does Lego sort of Twin Peaks characters, and she'd seen it and she'd liked sort of the pictures, so I'd made three of the you know, Candy, Mandy, Sandy. And so I went over because he had a sort of quiet moment, and I said, "I've paid for the photo later, but I'm just taking advantage of the fact that you guys are quite quiet just now." And I was like, "Listen, I have a gift for you." And she was like, "Oh, what is it?" And I sort of showed her. She went, "Oh, you're the guy." She's like, "Oh, I love it." She was like, "I'm so glad you've given me like underwear to Candy, other than the other two girls." And I was like, "Yeah, anyway." And then she said, she's like, "Well, we must get a photo of it." And I was like, "Yeah, no problem at all." And then she charged me like $50 for it. I was just like, "I got hustled," which was fine. But at the same time, I was a bit like, I didn't quite go how I was imagining it. But you know, and then we met her at the after party as well, which was, God, remember that? Remember that awful music? I admire her hustle more than anything, basically. But yeah, so part of the other thing with, they had this after party, and I think they were all contractually obliged to be there for 15 minutes, and I can assure you they were there for 15 minutes. Like, well the other two girls stayed. But like, you know what it's like, they had this like awful music, and like the poor like Carl like comes in and is like his walking frame, and he's just like, "Oh, hello." He's like, "Bye." I talked to Kimmy, which was quite fun. But anyway, no, it was a really fun one. And then the whole point of the story was that just like that's My that's now my association with Amy Shields whenever I talk about her. I'm always like, oh yeah, she was really, really cool. Yeah, she hustled me for like, I was quite specific. It's like I paid for photograph shortly. I just wanted to take this opportunity to give you your gift. Oh, and then the other thing which is worth sharing, which is also really funny, like, do you remember my photo I did for with the three
It's
girls?
the funniest of all the photo ops, like easily of Spooky
If
Empire.
you get a chance, go on Instagram to Lynch Bricks, Lynch underscore Bricks, and you'll see it. There's a really iconic photo with David Lynch with the three girls, like in their full Vegas sort of get up, and they're sort of kissing him on the cheeks, and he's just not into it. And I basically recreated that. So it's just me, like these three stunning ladies, like kissing me, and I'm just like, yeah, which I absolutely loved. But yeah, no, things to plug. So yeah, Lynch Bricks took a long hiatus. Thank you to all my lovely fans who stuck around. Not everybody did, but I don't blame them. I'm actually back on it. I've just posted up a couple yesterday, and I've got at least four or five in the pipeline. And in terms of, but back on it. So give me a look. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? So yeah, what else to talk about? With just. Do you know what? It's been, well, and I'd like you actually to include this, Colin, but you don't have to, obviously. But I just want to say to you, like, well done. Because when you first started, you were just figuring this out and you sort of had these one things like, oh my God, you're absolutely killing it just now. Like, you're just been like flying through it. And I'm kind of very impressed with you because my God, there must be times where you're just like, oh my God, I'm having to double in Twin Peaks one more bloody time.
No, but in all seriousness, doing stuff like this, being able to catch up with people who I'd otherwise just talk with on social media, like this is like a huge crux for why I love doing the show the way it is. So,
Sure, but you're very good.
yeah, thank you.
You're
And
very good.
actually, I think I've mentioned to you like off, but I might as well mention now is that it was actually the Gordon Cole episode. It was actually the third episode that we recorded, or the third episode I recorded. But I was so happy with like the flow of conversation and how like it really boosted like what I was really looking for. It was emblematic of what I wanted to do. So I actually made it the very first episode to set the tone for what I wanted the show to be. So actually, I want to thank you for being a huge component
Oh,
so early on.
no problem.
Together.
Yeah, I wasn't. I probably shouldn't. I'm probably not allowed to say this, but Colin told me it was his favorite episode. Can't take it back. Sorry, too late. No. In your face, my life is Twin Peaks. Sally's my friend. I'm only kidding.